Yeah, Bob, this is Harold, you know. Harold, this is Bob. Well, let me ask you this question. When you met Bob or Harold, what did you know about them at that point? Just that their name was Bob or Harold. That's about it. So how is it that you get to find out things about Bob and Harold? There's a couple of different ways. Number one, you hang out with them, you spend time with them, you talk with them, you ask questions. Now that scares this generation to death. And if you're that generation, I'm not knocking you, but at least if you're going to do this with somebody and find out something about them, get to know them a little bit. Listen, that is what God the Father wants from you and I, is to get to know him. He wants you to hang out with him. I've said before, some of us need someone to hang out with. And that's the whole thing. And communicate with him. Now, that relationship is critical. Why do I say that oftentimes I feel like we could lead people astray? Because there have been a lot of people who have gone to a church, they've gone down to the front, they have had a prayer with the pastor, and they felt like that was it. I've done what I need to do to see the kingdom of heaven. Now, I'm going to throw the shock to you because it's straight in the Word. The Word says, not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. That's almost a pretty scary verse, isn't it? You see, I think that applies to those folks who just checked the box off. I did the thing, I'm a believer. No, that is not correct. That can be the start, but the question is, do you hang out with him? You know, I've seen it before. We've had people who've walked in here and they've prayed and they've asked Jesus to come into their life and they walked out and said, I'm safe for all of eternity. And I'm like, don't work that way. You mean there's more? Yes. Now, we don't like to say that, you know, because I mean, listen, I grew up in that church, you know, and you all, some of y'all probably did too. How many of y'all grew up in a country church? You know, that's the way it was. I mean, the preacher preached hard. He preached that hellfire and brimstone. And then you, for whatever reason, maybe you were scared, maybe it was your friends, whatever, you went down there and you prayed with the pastor. And before you knew it, either that day or next Sunday, you was getting wet in the baptistry. And then later on down the road, you realized that you had done the thing, but you didn't really have a relationship with Christ. Folks, this is the most critical thing that you and I will ever encounter in our lives, is making sure that we have that relationship with Jesus. Now, today we're going to look in John chapter 5. We're going to deal with verses 1 through 8, where Jesus is using a metaphor of the vine and the branches to illustrate the type of relationship that we need to have with the Father. It's not just blow in and blow out. It's not just, how are you doing? This is me, I'm you, yeah, whatever. It's about what it takes to be what the Father wants us to be. Now, I also want to make sure that we have some things clear. I am in no way standing up here preaching to you that salvation is by works. Do you understand me? Okay. Because the Bible says you're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I'm going to go on and tell you this. It is for you. It is for everybody. If you live and you breathe, salvation is for you. Jesus went to the cross for you. Not a select handful, for you. The Holy Spirit knocks on that heart's door. How will you answer it? Will you answer it? So let's just say that you have. So what is it? You know, a lot of times Christians will come to me and they're like, why is this so difficult? I said, well, I may not be a smart man, but I know the answer to this question. Because Satan does not like God. Satan does not like Jesus, and therefore you as a believer are his enemy. And he's coming after you three ways. You know, every good Baptist preacher has a three-point sermon. Here's how Satan comes at you. Hard, fast, and continuously. All the time. And you know that. And often we get taken in by what's taking place. So how is it that we can survive? We're outnumbered in the world, aren't we? When you walk out of here, you are outnumbered. You are outnumbered in so many different areas, and sometimes that can seem depressing. But how is it that you and I can walk the walk? How is it that we can talk the talk? How is it that we can find ourselves living in the glory of the Master and in the joy of the Lord? And he gives us the answer in our scripture text today. Look with me, if you would, at John chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. He says, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we pray that your word would spring forth new life within our hearts. Lord, I pray that you will give us a a greater understanding today. I pray you'll speak to our hearts, that you will help us to understand the need for dependency upon you. And Lord, I pray that you will draw us closer to you. As always, Lord, I pray if there's one within the sound of my voice that doesn't know you, Lord, maybe they've been deceived by Satan into even thinking that they are a believer. But Lord, I pray that your conviction would be upon their heart today, that they would give their heart, their life to you, and they would experience what true joy and true life really is all about. So Lord, help us to be attentive to your Holy Spirit for these next few moments. Use me as your messenger, that you would truly be exalted and lifted up, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we think about that, most of us understand what the word abide means. It means to remain. So Jesus is saying, for us to be able to live that life, to be excited in the presence of the Father, to not go down those dark pathways and those dark roads, the way that we are going to do this, here's the answer to that question. How is it that I can walk with the Lord, and how is it, you know, how is it that I can keep from finding myself in this repetitious, vain manner that Paul talked about? Remember, Paul said, why am I doing the things I shouldn't be, and why am I not doing the things I should be doing? Well, here's how you do that. You have got to abide in him. You know, I've said this before. There is something about accountability. I know that every one of us, and I certainly wouldn't ask you what it would be, have maybe been tempted to do something, but yet you didn't do it because of who you were with. You know, you refrained from doing it because you knew that person that was with you, a friend or whatever, would have been giving you the old, what are you doing? Yeah, and you knew it was wrong to do. We always do better when we're with other people that are like-minded, right? That's why it's great. Yeah, it's easier to be a believer when you're in a crowd of believers. It's easier to raise up a hand and say hallelujah when you're sitting in church. It's a little bit different when you're outside, right? It's a little bit different when you're in the workplace. But the Lord says to keep from going down the bad or the wrong roads, here's what you got to do. You have to abide in me. You have to remain in me. Now, he tells us in these verses, he says, you are already clean because the word which I have spoken to you. I mean, if you have trusted Jesus, if you have asked him to forgive your sins, come into your life, then you know him and you are a believer. Now, living that life is a different story, but he goes on and he says this. He says, once again, abide in me and I in you. And then he starts to give us a little detail. He says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. That is a very powerful statement. And that's one that we can understand. You know why? Have you ever gone out and trimmed a limb off of a plant or something? You know, Jana's probably not real happy with me, but I don't do a real good job at pruning bushes. And we've got, you know, like an azalea out in the front, and then we got one of rose bushes in the back that thing must have been 10 or 15 feet tall. So, you know, I said, I'll get biblical with it. So I said, I'm gonna prune it. Just cut that bad boy right on down. And I said, you know what? They'll grow back. You know, I did that with some of those little plants. Remember, I shared with y'all the one that I thought was dead before. I cut that sucker off, and it will come back. I can almost hear it grow in the summertime. You can hear, I mean, you can see it, and all these little green sprigs are coming out of it and everything, all right? Now, I'm not saying that the Father does that with us, but we understand the concept that when you become disconnected, if you go up there and you take that plant and you clip that limb off of it, yeah, and you go over there and you lay it in the refuse pile, in a couple of days, what leaves were on it are no longer green, are they? They're no longer vibrant. They're no longer beautiful. And as you continue to watch it, it just continues to wither away. It dies. You know why it dies? Because it is not connected to its source of nourishment. It is not connected to what feeds it. It is not connected to what it is that provides what it needs to be able to grow and to be vibrant. And you don't have to be a horticulturist to understand that. Amen? If you break the limb off, it is going to die. And that is exactly what we're getting at in the scripture today, where the Lord says, you need to abide in me. You need to be connected to me all the time. Because that is where you get your sustenance. That is where you get your nourishment. You know, it's like I said, we need to feed spiritually upon the Word, right? And some of us need to do a lot better than what we're doing. Let me ask you this. If you took physical nourishment at the same rate that you took spiritual nourishment, what would you look like? Let me round that back a little bit more. If the only time that you ate a meal was on Sunday, what would you look like? Some of you are sitting there going, a whole lot better than I look now. No, it would go beyond that. It would get to the point of being unhealthy. It would get to the point where you are starving to death. And some of us today have got such a spiritual anorexia that needs to be corrected, because we need to be getting in. We need to be connected to the Word. We need to be feeding on the Word of God. And if your only source of that is Roy here on Sunday morning, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. You need to meet with Him. You need to hang out with the Messiah. You need to hang out with the Master. You need to spend time in His Word so He can teach you. But listen, don't just be once a week eaters. Man, it's a buffet. You got a whole spiritual buffet here, and it's got all kinds of stuff I like. See, that's my problem. If I go to a buffet, I want to try it all. Where are my buffet people? Hallelujah. And I look at that plate knowing that I cannot eat all that's on it. But I'm going to try. Because I was also taught you don't throw it away. Yeah, if you get it, you eat it. So then I leave miserable. It was good. It was pleasure and sin for the season, for the moment. But later on, I pay for it. But folks, let me tell you something. There is a smorgasbord of spiritual nourishment that you and I have in the palm of our hand called God's Word. But notice what He said. He says, as you abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. We just talked about that. Neither can you unless you abide in me. You cannot become spiritually strong being cut off from the vine. You can't. You can't do it. The word says that it is impossible. He goes on again and he says, I am the vine. He's laying out what it is. I am the vine. You are the branches. So you know what that means? He is the one who makes the provision for the nourishment, for the strength that we need. We are the little branch. We are feeding, or should be feeding, off of that main vine. And who is that? That is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the Word of God. He says, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Now, isn't that cool? I mean, you know, most of you have seen a fruit tree before the deer get to them, if it's a little apple tree out in your yard. And man, all of a sudden you'll see these little vines and you'll see or little branches and you'll see buds and then you'll see fruit. And man, you've gone out there, you've picked some of those fruits, you've had them. Maybe you do preserves or whatever. But boy, that sure is good, you know, to be able to get some nourishment off of that. I grew up in what I called green apple territory. How many of y'all remember growing up with green apples? Man, it wasn't nothing like shimmying up that tree and picking a few of those and going home with a stomach ache, was it? Yeah, buddy. Love them green apples. Sometimes they were sour, and in certain years they'd be a little sweeter. And man, just what a good thing. The nourishment that it provided. You see, that tree provided those apples, and it provided sustenance, and it came through the little branches to where the apple grew. Are you understanding the spiritual concept of what the Father is telling us? He's saying, as you are connected to me, as you abide in me, you will bloom and bear fruit. What kind of fruit? I had a guy ask me that one time. He said, was that talking about like oranges and apples? And I said, no, it's talking about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruits of the Spirit. So let's ask ourselves for just a moment today. Were there any of those areas I just mentioned that you have trouble with? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Woo! Man, some of y'all are sitting there going, there's an old song, two out of three ain't bad. Now, some of you done missed some of it. Some of you are going, I could do a whole lot better in this area. I could do a whole lot better. You cannot do it unless you are attached to the vine. And part of the reason why we aren't doing so well in some of those areas is because we are not connected. Yeah, and it's interesting that sometimes I'll talk to people and they'll sit back and say, preacher, I need to talk to you. Okay. And they'll sit down, they'll talk about what's going on in their life. And I'm like, well, this is what the Bible says. And they say this, I know that. I said, well, then if you know that, then you know to do what the Bible has to say. I know that too. And I said, then why are we having this discussion? You already know the answer to your question. I said, the problem with us having this discussion is you don't want to do it. That's the problem. And sometimes they'll look at me and say, I'm not going to do it. And I'm going to say, and you're not going to be connected. And you will never make progress in that area. When you tell God, I ain't going to do it, you better buckle up. Because someday you will. But how much hard road are you going to have to go through before the Lord? He has a way of getting your attention. You know, I grew up in the attention getter era, you know. That was called this. That was an attention getter. You know, if your attention needed to be gotten, it was gotten on the backside. All right? I won't get into that. That's a different sermon for a different day. But, you know, I think a size 10 to the backside needs to happen a little bit more today in our society. But he goes on, he says, if you abide in him, you will bear much fruit, But without him, you can do nothing. Do you understand that? Nothing is a big word, isn't it? Guess what nothing means? Let me give you the southern rendition and definition of nothing. You know what nothing means? Nothing. It's pretty simple. Absent. There's nothing there. So the Lord says, we cannot do anything without him. You will not experience the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You're not going to be able to do anything in that area without him. You are not going to be a better witness without him. I don't care how much you do. God is not asking us for another program. He's asking us for a relationship. And if we get the relationship right, the rest of it takes care of itself. You want to see a church really make a difference in its community? Then we need to do what the Lord's asked us to do. We need to abide in him and he in us. And you will watch God do some incredible things like, guess what? Produce fruit. Produce fruit. What kind of fruit are we producing? I like what an old preacher told me one time. he made a comment to a particular person, and I was there, and I said, you know, I said, after the other person was gone, I said, that sounded kind of judgmental. And I said, the Lord tells us we're not supposed to judge. He said, I didn't judge. I was like, well, tomato, potato, patata. I said, sounded like judgment to me. He said, no. He said, I was inspecting fruit. He said, we're not supposed to judge, but the Lord tells us we are to be fruit inspectors. Is there fruit that is being born from our walk with him? Are there things that we are learning? And folks, you know what? We got people who will sit in a church pew all day that are producing zero fruit. Because if you are attached to the vine, you can't help but produce fruit. Now, for some folks, that's a staggering comment. We're just sitting back. He goes on, he says this, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. You know why? Because they're useless. They're useless. You know those trees and bushes and whatnot that I cut down? I drug them down there to the backyard. You know why I did that? To let them die. Because you know what's going to happen after they die? They become fire pit material for the joy of the family to sit around. That's it. You know, there ain't going to be no roses coming off of that plant that I cut down that's laying out in the backyard. There's not going to be any little flowers off of the azalea that I cut down. Now, here's the thing. There should be, from what is still connected to the earth, come next year. I'll report later as to whether or not I'll be in the doghouse or out there digging up something to put something else in it. But he says this. He says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now, too many people go crazy on this particular passage. They're like, oh, well, Lord have mercy. If that's the case, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray, Lord, give me $1 million. Because the word says if I pray for it and I claim it, then I can get it. That is not what that means. That is not the context of that particular passage. It's not. You know, that is preaching prosperity theology, and that is not what the Lord says. You see, because the thing about it is, and let me carry you to one that all of us know. We all know the Lord's Prayer, don't we? We learned that as kids. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now get this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is what he's talking about. You see, when we are attached to him, when we are abiding with him, when we are walking with him, we are walking so close that our prayers should be what he's already got planned out in heaven. That's what we should be asking for. It's not about us being self-serving. It's not to benefit us. The prayers we should pray are the prayers that should benefit and glorify the Father. You know what that means? That means you don't always get what you particularly want when you go to the Father in prayer. But we also have to understand that God knows best, doesn't he? I tell you one thing. I have thanked God for more unanswered prayers in my life, probably, than answered prayers. Have you? Have you ever sat back and prayed something with fervency and with diligence, and you're like, oh, Lord, you just let me do this and do that and do the other thing. And then down the road, you realize, because he reminded you, that had he answered your prayer the way you wanted it answered, you wouldn't be where you were at that particular moment. Whether it's a relationship, whether it's a place, a job, whatever it may be. How many times have those painful experiences brought us to the reality of God? And I'm going to get to that as well. Because when we continue to look through this particular passage, he goes on and he talks about how the Father is the vine dresser. You know what? That rose bush wasn't real happy to see me coming at it with a saw. And then when I got down there at the bottom and said, yum, nor the azalea bush, or that other thing I cut out of there. I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was, but I drug her out of there, cut it right off. They weren't happy to see that, but I will make you a promise on that one little bush, because I know it's brothers and sisters that live around my yard. By next year, that thing will be growing green things, and it'll look really, really good. I've heard the same about the azalea. Again, I'll report back later. Roses, they say they're actually pretty hard to kill. You cut them off. And not only when they come back, if you do it properly, I probably didn't do it properly, but if you prune them properly, something amazing happens. When they come back out and they start to bloom again, there are even more blooms. He says, so when we're attached to the vine, you know what happens? And the Father comes and prunes us. There are some things that we've got to go through that are not very fun, right? He prunes us. But why does he prune us? That in time, not only will we bear fruit again, we will bear much fruit. We will bear more fruit. And man, that is a cool concept. I have seen some people who know what they are doing, and I have looked at some apple trees and wondered how they're still standing up because of the vast amount of apples on that tree. It looks like it's about to break the tree down. It is bearing not only fruit, much fruit. Why? Because it has remained or abided in the vine. It has remained connected. And for you and I as believers, we're little branches. All God's branches said, you're a little branch. And God expects us to remain connected to him. When we go off doing goofy stuff, you know what we do? We pull ourselves away. And we start to die. We no longer have the necessary nutrients, the necessary nourishment. I've watched some, I'm not much of a horticulturist, but I've watched some pretty cool grafting videos. I guess I'm a little weird when it comes down to that, where they come in and they'll take like a fruit tree and they'll cut a little notch in it, and then they'll put another branch to it, and then they'll tape it all up and they'll let it grow, and then all of a sudden you get these kind of, you know, cross flavors in fruits and different things. But you know what? You can go back and you can see where there's a little scar, but it reattached. You know, they reattached a branch. They grafted it in. Now, I could go on another sermon with that, because us Gentiles, we are grafted in to salvation. That's what it's called in the Word of God. Salvation was for the Jews, but we Gentiles have been grafted in. I like to say, you know, we're adopted. But you know what the really interesting part about it is? An adopted son has all the same legal rights as a biological son. And that don't mean God don't love me. I want to ask you today, are you connected? The Gospel of John, I got notes here. I'll look at them at some point. Nah, let's not do that. Because all we need to know is this. whether or not we're connected to the vine. Now, you know that. You know the answer to that question today. Let me tell you how I know you know the answer to that question today. Because the Holy Spirit has already let you know where you are. Plain and simple. Brad, you guys come on up. Sometimes when I hear messages, I usually have to hear them like online or somewhere like that, because the preacher don't get to go to a whole lot of other churches unless he's on vacation. But I'll hear, you know, one of my colleagues or somebody preach, and I kind of get that sense that the Lord's sitting there looking at me going, that's you. That's you. Yeah, and you kind of get the old boot on the toe. You ever get the old boot on the toe, and then the Lord just kind of turns it a little bit, getting your toes stepped on? That's a spiritual term where I come from. Get your toes stepped on by the Holy Spirit. Well, the question today is this. Are you abiding in the Master? Are you attached? Or are you some dead, dried out, dying limb that's walking around going, yay, Jesus? Because if you're attached, you will bear fruit. And he'll prune you that you'll bear much fruit. And here's the thing. Nobody can answer that question except you. That's between you and the Father. But there's good news. The good news is you can reconnect today. You can start to get the nutrition, the spiritual nutrition that comes from the Word of God. The spiritual nutrition that comes in cultivating that relationship with Him. You know, some of my greatest prayers aren't, you know, the most oratory, if that's even a word. Yeah, I don't, at times, you know, when I'm feeling that in my soul, I don't sit back and go, oh God, our lovingly heavenly Father, from which reigneth upon high. No, it's more like, Lord, man, I messed up. He still hears me. He knows what I'm saying. And it's like, Lord, I want more than anything to be attached to you. I want more than anything to love everybody, even those that don't like me. Lord, I want to experience your joy every day of my life. Your joy. Because joy in the Lord's not based on ever-changing circumstances. Lord, I want to be used as an instrument in your hand. That is the coolest thing in the world, when the Lord uses you. And by the way, he didn't call us all to preach. Some of us he calls to work at that office. Some of us he's called to, you know, to do various and sundry things. You know, I still remember my mama. You'll love this one, Mom, because I know she'll be watching later. They asked me when I was young, they said, what do you want to be when you grow up? I said, I want to be a garbage truck driver. Well, that's what you want to hear from your kids, isn't it? Aspiring for great things. Guess what I did when I was in college? I drove a garbage truck. I told Mom, I said, I fulfilled my dream of a little boy. I was a garbage truck driver. But let me tell you something. I was a happy garbage truck driver because I enjoyed what I did. All of that was part of God training me to get where I am. Yeah. I said he accidentally gave me a job as a police officer. There was purpose in that. I didn't know how the other side lived. I didn't feel like I had been a sheltered individual until I realized I had been. And I learned depravity of man. I learned compassion. Got in trouble for it a lot. I didn't score well on my evaluations. You know why? Well, you give people too many chances. I just laughed and said, okay. You know why? Because that's the example the Father had given me. And I knew I was only going to be there for a little while, because eventually the Lord was going to put me into the ministry that he called me into. Not a single thing was ever wasted. Not a single tear that ever fell was ever wasted. Not a single moment had ever been wasted. They all culminate into who I am today. And the same is true with you. Are you abiding with Christ? I'm going to be with him a lot longer than I'm going to be with anybody else down here. I want to see him face to face, and I want to hear him say, "Man, dude, you took some hits, didn't you? Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler." Not that I want to be a ruler. I don't care to be a ruler. I just want to be faithful. I want to finish well. I want you to finish well. Everybody starts good, but how are we going to finish? Yeah, I'm not concerned. I don't want to. I don't care if the church is 100, 1,000, or 10,000. I want to be faithful where God's planted me, because He's put me here for a reason. He's put you here for a reason. You know why? If He's put us here for a reason, it means He has plans for us. And it takes all of us. We don't have the same talents and abilities. I got a chance to do a radio spot Friday for a radio station for our trunk or treat. I thought it was going to be one of them 30-minute things. It turned out to be like 5 or 6 minutes of conversation. And had a really good chat with the guy. And the fella said, we were talking about the trunk or treat. He said, yeah, he said, my mom used to be, he asked me what our opening hymn was. And I had to think for a minute because I had to get it. I knew Brad had it there. Good job. I had it on my email. I had to look at it again. And so when I told him, he said, my mama was a choir director. And he says, I grew up in it. And he said, by the way, Baptists have the best hymns. He said, sorry, Presbyterians, Methodists, everybody. He said, Baptists have the best singing. They got the best bass lines and everything. So he said, my mama was a choir director. And he said, the preacher said, what's the scripture going to be for this coming week? And he told her, Everything I'll ever preach is based on the Bible. And she didn't like that answer. So Sunday, guess what song they sang? The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, for 5 weeks. That's what they opened with. He said, my mama got the scripture text for the next week from there on out. But you know, when we sit back and we think about what it is that God's doing, are we connected? You know. There's times when we find ourselves in that dark, deserted place. There's times when we sit back and say, I'm not what I'm supposed to be. Don't know how I got here. Doesn't matter how you got there, how you getting back. That's where joy is. That's where the true thing is. See, I said all that to say, we have different talents and abilities. Tammy can come up here and sing. It'll bless your heart. If I sing, it's not going to bless your heart. But I have a feeling that I might be able to do a pretty good sermon, and Tammy might have a little struggle with it. That's why we work together. And you know what? I sit back and go, you know what? If Tammy sings and I preach, and we get Vicky to play, because Vicky plays good, we got something going, don't we? So what is it that God's given you? Yeah, sometimes people just say, well, you know, all I can do is... There is a lady who is in our church, and I would not call her name to embarrass her, but she can look at me and smile, and it changed my whole day. She don't have to say anything to me. She's just precious. She just look at you and grin, and I'm like, yep, whole new day. All of us have talents and abilities. Some cook. Some are just friendly people. Some have skills that I don't have. But when we put them all together, you know what God says? We can do some pretty cool stuff. But we need to cheer each other on and watch God do something incredible. So here's my question today. Invitation time. This is it. Still believe in that. First of all, have you trusted Jesus? Has there been that time in your life that it wasn't just something that you did to check the box, that you said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I believe what Christ accomplished through his death, burial, and his resurrection. And Father, I'm turning my life over to you. Forgive my sins. And by the way, when you turn your life over to somebody, that means they have control. That means they have charge of it. That means they tell you what to do. And see, most of us are too busy saying, well, I'm not going to let anybody rule my life. You better let somebody rule your life that knows it better than you do, like Jesus. Have you given him your life? Not just gone through the process. Because it says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, went into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of the Father. Again, I'm not preaching works, but there's fruit. There's evidence. You know, some of us today, we just hanging out as like an old dead limb on a tree. Now, first of all, if you haven't received Jesus and you want to do that, listen, it's handshake time. You bow your head wherever you are and you say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I believe what Jesus did at Calvary. Come into my life. Save my soul. Forgive my sins. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. He listened to you. He says, now we got work to do. There's some things. By the way, have you followed in believer's baptism? Followed, meaning after you received Jesus. Have you been baptized? And people sit back and say, well, does that mean I'm not going to go to heaven? No, that's not what that means. But baptism is the first act of obedience following salvation. Are you going to be obedient? And some of us have had them times when we did what all the rest of the youth group did back in church, and we went down front because it seemed like the thing to do, but you really didn't trust Jesus till later on in your life. And you're sitting there. I've had people come and say, does my baptism from back then count, even though I didn't trust Jesus? Well, I was baptized when I was 12, but I really didn't trust Jesus till I was 20. Does that one work? No. No. I said, you know, I take a shower every day. Well, that would be more of a Methodist term. If I took a bath every day and went underwater, then all I got was wet. All right? You got to figure it out. I mean, listen, the Lord's already telling you what's going on. And we're here to celebrate with you. Yeah, but listen, if you do what the Lord's told you to do, if you come down here and say, preacher, I need to be baptized, there's not a soul out there that's going to be going, well, I just can't believe that they're holding us up on time. I can't believe that we're going to have a baptismal service now. But no, we're going to celebrate. Don't let Satan lie to you. Man, he's a big old liar. Shoo him on out. So if you need Jesus, if you need baptism, listen, let us know. We want to celebrate. We want to help get you on the right path to grow. Maybe you're in here and you're that old dead limb. You're standing out there proud, but you're unattached. You just kind of laying on the ground singing, yeah, Jesus be glorified, and you're not producing any fruit. You're dying. That's on you. I've said it before, and I love what David said. I always bring this up because it'll be a lifetime. David said, you see those little pictures of Jesus holding a little lamb, feeding it a bottle? He said, yeah. He said, you see that, but you never see Jesus sitting there with a 600-pound sheep on his lap cramming grass down its throat. There comes a time when we need to mature. There comes a time when we need to feed ourselves. And that time is now. What do you need to do? Maybe you need to get some things back together with the Lord. Maybe you need to say, Lord, I messed up. I'm not connected. Let's get reconnected and let's do some incredible things. Let God do some incredible things in your life, and he'll do that same thing corporately within our church. What do you need to do? I'll be here if you need the altar. It's here as we stand and we sing our invitation hymn. Brad's going to come lead us in number 320, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. as you continue to do business with God, as your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, I'm going to ask our ushers to make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering as we continue to worship Him. Father, your goodness and provision is beyond anything that we could ever imagine, and we're so grateful and thankful for the way that you have taken care of us. Lord, you have met every single need as you promised, but Lord, for many of us, you have supplied even our wants. I pray, Father, that we truly will be faithful to give back to you that portion that you've asked us to give back to you, that you've commanded us to give back to you. And Lord, that it might be used for your honor and for your glory. So may there be blessings all around as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Vicki. Here comes Steve. I guess I need to sit down.
Not so fast there, preacher. October is Pastor Appreciation Month, and since Tammy Gardner, our chairman of personnel, could not be here today, she has asked me to present on behalf of the church some gifts to our pastors. And first I want to call Brad up. Brad is our worship leader, music minister. He's rebuilt our music minister and he sets the tone of our worship service. So we have some Christian artwork. We have a card and gift card signed from the church to Brad and Michelle. And a great gift bag. I've been looking at those all week. I'm like, oh, I should get into that. Pastor David is still on vacation today, but we appreciate his service to our church, and as well as his wife, Donna. David runs our Sunday school program. He's in charge of Sunday night preaching. He does the senior adult ministry. He does so much, the Camp Carefree. I think I've had 5 operations since I've been at this church, and Pastor David has been there to pray with me every time. So, Pastor David, if you're watching and listening, your stuff is on your desk. So, all right, Jenna, please. Please come on down. Pastor Roy and Jana are a team. Jana doesn't like to be in the spotlight, but we're going to put her in the spotlight a little bit today. She does an awful lot of stuff at this church behind the scenes. She's in charge of the shoe boxes. She's in charge of Awanas. And she just does stuff that a lot of people don't see her do. So she would be best described as a Proverbs 31 woman, and I want to appreciate her today. So, Roy, goodness, we could be here the rest of the day talking about Roy. Roy is such a godly man, such a godly preacher. He epitomizes for me what a pastor should be. He knows the word. He preaches the word. He's a friend. He's a coach. He's a mentor. He's a counselor. He's a lot of things to a lot of different people. And we are so blessed and honored to have him as our pastor. So today, we'd like to present him with some stuff. Well, actually, we'll give it to Jenna. All right. Well, since both of them are standing up here, we decided this year that we were going to give them a little lanyap. Anybody from South Louisiana, you know what lanyap means? It means a little something extra. So due to your generosity, and by the way, you can still give, the church is going to send Jenna and Roy to Hawaii for a week.
Wow. I just want to say this. I always say it when I was in elementary school. I said, when I get married, I want to go to Hawaii. And saved and saved and saved and saved. And when Jana and I got married 33 years ago, that's where we went for our honeymoon. And we've talked about that's the most beautiful place that we have ever been. God's blessed us to be able to go some places. And at times, even like 25th, we looked and thought, well, maybe we'll go back. But then, you know, kids and everything else. This is something else. This will be a second honeymoon. I promise. I am looking so forward to this. Thank you. That is so generous. We love you guys. You didn't have to do this, but I will tell you right now, that is one of the kindest things that anybody has ever done. We love you guys, and thank you so much for putting up with us for 23 years here. And wow, I'm blown away.
Well, now if he can talk, he gets the podium back. So.
Now I can do the announcements,
yes,
right?
Sir. Let me let you take that, buddy.
It's hard to know what to say. That, and if y'all know me, that's a hard thing to do. I've always got something to say. But thank you all so much from the bottom of our hearts. Jana and I love each and every one of you, and I don't have words. I wish I could express it, but thank you guys so, so very much. Just want to give you a couple things that that we've got. First of all, birthdays. Bill Monroe, if you see Bill, Bill's got a birthday coming up tomorrow. I think he and Shirley are here. I think they went over next door to see Dr. Joe, who was actually in town, which is a great thing. But Bill's birthday's tomorrow. Brad, coming up this Thursday, going to have a birthday. And then, yeah, give him a hand. This coming Friday, Mike and Kay's grandsons, Chase and Chad Harrell, will be having a birthday. So if you get a chance, shoot them a message. Let them know how much you love them, how much you appreciate them. And then this coming Saturday, Donnie Chilton will be celebrating his birthday on, I think that's November the 1st. I always remember that one because he only person I've ever known that was born on the 1st of a month. So that one was pretty easy. Just a couple things we got going this week. I do have my D group, my D Life group at 3:30. In our normal meeting spot, choir practice at 4:30, 6 o'clock, we will have Trunk or Treat. Please come and please be a part of Trunk or Treat. Pastor David's out of town on vacation. We're doing this in conjunction with Awaken, so bring your trunk. And does everybody in here, does anybody here not know what Trunk or Treat is? Good. Okay, I got it. I'll explain it to him later. But anyway, expecting, you know, kids, a lot of kids from the neighborhood. There's going to be hot dogs, chili, popcorn. Just bring your trunk. I think we've invited some of the guys that do the classic car cruise in stuff to come and be a part of it. But it's just a chance for us to be able to give back to our community. And we always seem to have a really, really good time. So you'll see all kinds of little characters running around and whatnot. So if you could bring a trunk, I mean, you know, bring your trunk, park your car. You got to get here some way. Open it up, bring some candy. The kids will love it. And that's going to actually start at 6 o'clock. We will have Awana from 5:30 to 6 o'clock, so we will make sure we've got that book time for the kids in Awana, and then we will head out to do Trunk or Treat. There is a reminder for me to let you guys know not to forget next, I'll call it Saturday night, is the time change. You will fall back in time. So that's next Saturday night before you go to bed. Set your clock back, get that extra hour of sleep, and be on time for church. So we'll try to remind you again. We'll try to remind you again as we get a little bit closer to that time. But at any rate, our next bi-monthly blood drive is coming up November the 11th, 2:30 to 6:30. Ladies Connections meeting is going to be on November the 6th, 4 o'clock p.m. Right here at the church. And then the ladies monthly breakfast will be on the 5th of November at Cagney's on Friendly. Just a reminder, we have our Operation Christmas Child shoe boxes back there. You can pick those up. Those boxes you see back there, they're not just display. Pick them up, take them with you, pack them up, bring them back. Our end gathering here is going to be November the 9th and the 16th is when you bring them back here. But then as a regional collection area, the drop-offs are going to be, the 17th, the 21st, the 22nd, 23rd, 24th. If you would like to help out with that, then when people from a region bring their boxes by here, we repack them to send them. You can sign up to do that. There's a sign-up sheet out there in the Narthex that has times where you can come by, hang out with us as we get all those prepared, and then we get them off to the next stop. Is there anything I've forgotten? I'm not sure whether it is or not, but Cuba. Yeah, we can't forget Cuba. There's so much going on. That is our annual Cuba trip, is the 27th of February through March the 6th. And keep praying for our team. We're in the process of dotting I's and crossing the T's. We've only got a couple more weeks to get our money in, get all of our paperwork turned in, because it takes that long to get a visa for Cuba. And I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I was approved to go on the trip to Israel. So I will be going on December the 1st as a delegation of 1,000 pastors. That'll be the first annual, they're calling it a summit. We will have the opportunity to meet with Prime Minister Netanyahu while we were there, as well as the hostages. This is a spiritual as well as a political trip. So I'm asking for your prayers. We're getting details. They're taking care of all that. I've never had a chance to see Israel. I get to go hang out where Jesus walked. That'll be my first time, and I'm looking forward to it. So y'all pray for me, and I'll let you know a little bit more details as we have those. I think they're actually doing a television series on this thing that will air as well. But from all across the country, 1,000 pastors are going. Myself and Pastor Steve Goode from Northside Church are actually on this trip. Steve is in line. Steve might make trip number 2. That's what we're hoping and praying for. So we'll keep you posted along the way. Guys, we love you. Thank you so much for the mind-boggling, mind-blowing surprise. Steve, how about if you would come up and see us off in a word of prayer? We get you up here so people can see your mug on TV. Really appreciate all that that he and Mari do. We love those guys, and he's one of your chaplains for North Carolina Baptist on Missions, and one of our SBC chaplains. Just got back from a training at Ridgecrest, and a lot of behind the scenes stuff. Steve, pray for us, buddy.
Heavenly gracious Father, we are thankful that we have such awesome pastors that preach the word of God, that sing the music that do the service that they do to you. So we are thankful for them, and we praise you for that and their wives. We ask now that you would go with us as we leave this place. Help us to be witnesses out in the community and to shine the light of Jesus, and bring us back tonight for trunk or treat, and as we witness to the kids. And we ask all these things in Christ's name.